If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and today talking about the Xbox Developer Direct, the first party showcase of 2024. Joining me as ever is Eurogamer's news team. We have Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
Liv Narn.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips, and this is our look ahead that we got last night at Microsoft's first party slate, or some of it at least, for the year ahead. What did we think of? We had four games and one third party surprise, but what did we think of Microsoft's stall that it's laid out for the coming months?
Meh. I think Microsoft is looking in a really strong position. I was going to say this is the most excited I've been about Xbox games, but also with other things that we can talk about indie in depth later, but I'm very surprised by the meh. No, like, I think it looks like a good lineup.
They're not bad games at all. And I think one thing I will say is that I actually really like the format of it. The fact that it's, you know, 50 minutes, they said an hour, but it was 50 minutes, and we get a really good look at each game. I really like that we get to go in depth, we get to see the developers. It's not just here's a sizzle reel of a load of trailers. So I really like the format of it. Obviously they did it last year as well, and we got Hi-Fi Rush, which was amazing, and this year we did not get a Shadow Drop. I think the games look decent, but they're just not wow system sellers to me. Of like, I mean, I already have an Xbox, but that watching that, if I didn't have an Xbox, I wouldn't think, yes, I'm going to go and buy an Xbox for those games. Like, they're decent. They're all coming to Game Pass. That's fine. But I'm not wowed by anything.
Not even indie?
Not even indie.
No.
Really?
I've seen the Indiana Jones films, not the most recent one. Obviously seen the others. But I'm just not a massive Indiana Jones fan. And for me, I sort of question a bit, who is that for? Because I feel like, well, it is for Victoria, clearly. But I think
it's for people who want an Xbox version of Uncharted.
Well, exactly.
As a
brand, I feel like Indiana Jones, the last two films, I mean, I didn't see the most recent one, but from what I hear, it was awful. The one before that, Crystal Skull, was appalling. So I sort of feel like, why are they flogging a dead horse here? Like, just let the 80s films be. I don't need any more Indiana Jones at this point.
Well, I mean, to that I would say this is taking the action and setting back to the original trilogy timeline.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing,
This will have been started long before Dial of Destiny came out. So, obviously, maybe they had hoped that film had had a better reception and people would be sort of looking at this project having just come out of a great Indiana Jones film. I've not seen the most recent Indiana Jones film. I plan to see it sometime on Disney Plus. Maybe that says a lot by itself. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks
good.
Fun.
Yeah,
and there is a space for that kind of game on Xbox, which doesn't really. There's nothing filling it at the moment. I mean, obviously, Uncharted was heavily inspired by Indiana Jones originally, and it is one of PlayStation's biggest titles. Xbox, through acquisition of Bethesda, has got this, and I think there isn't really anything in the first party exclusive lineup that sort of already has that box ticked. And I love the original indie trilogy. Who doesn't, right?
So good. Like you said, I'm really glad they've gone. So it's between Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade. I think that's a really good time to be setting their story. So I'm very glad they have done that.
Where does Temple of Doom fit in?
Technically, that actually, I think, is, even though it's prequel? The second film, it's the first story.
Yeah.
But it's the second film. So it goes Temple of Doom, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, and then the films that we do not speak of. Although I have watched several times.
Have you seen Dial of Destiny?
I went to see it in the cinema.
Oh, what did you think?
If even the indie fans say that.
The first two acts are actually okay. And they have kind of like, there are some annoyances, but it's a really easy, like, fun adventure romp that you don't really need to, like, pay much attention to, but still kind of get like a bit of a sort of indie thrill. The third act just goes completely off the wall, and it's I think I audibly laughed at one point in the cinema, not because they said a funny joke, but just because I was like, oh, they're actually doing this. Okay. So, but you know, it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you expect that kind of weirdness, right? I mean, there are ghosts coming out of a magic box.
This is beyond.
There's an old guy that's lived for thousands of years.
This goes even further on the sort of surreal scale.
You're making me want to see it, to be quite honest.
I know. Maybe I'm actually selling it really well.
Maybe. I'm more excited about the game now instead.
I'm very excited about this game, I should say.
Can we just discuss how bad the title is?
Oh, it's terrible. The Great Circle.
What does that mean?
It
means there's a circle of ancient sites going around the world and some special significance to the fact that they're in a circle. It's a tile.
It's better than Dial of Destiny.
Yeah.
Dial of Destiny at least has the alliteration going for it.
Exactly. I'm with Liv.
It's not a great title, but then I don't think Indiana Jones games particularly have had great titles. I loved Fate of Atlantis. Fate of Atlantis was one of my favourite games growing up. The more recent ones, I played one on the Switch. I can't even remember what it was called.
It was that.
Fate of Atlantis is a great one.
Fate of Atlantis is amazing. Everyone should play that game.
What do we think about first person then? Does that suit the game? Or is that just, it's what machine games are sort of known for? And
I think it's what they're known for. I do think they'll also have, like, that studio. I think the combat should be really, really good. I was slightly disappointed actually last night that we didn't get a better look at the gameplay, because it did kind of, when they said it was going to be like 11 minutes of gameplay, I thought it was going to be like a gameplay sequence that we were going to watch. Whereas it was actually like developers talking with interspersed bits and a lot of like pulling back for the third person cutscenes. I remember when I first heard that it was going to be first person a little while ago, my initial reaction was really disappointed, because I tend to prefer playing third person games anyway. Like, I love The Uncharted, I love The Last of Us, I love God of War. I realize I'm just naming PlayStation stuff right now. But, and I also feel Xbox has plenty of first person shooters, so this would have been an interesting time for them to kind of go into that third person marketplace. But saying that, I think maybe it is quite good that they do have that mix where you will have some third-person bits when you're in the cutscenes, obviously, and then when you're doing the traversal.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned a load of PlayStation games there, because I think PlayStation games tend to be third-person and Xbox tend to be first-person.
Yeah, so in this sense, I think so.
It kind of fits with that. I like that there's a bit of a mix, but I also think that had it been entirely third-person, people would just say, oh, it's just like Uncharted. And it would be too obvious a comparison. So I think that the fact that it's first person actually makes it stand out a little bit more and separates it from other games that it's similar to. So I think that's a good thing.
I mean, this is very much what Machine Games does do with their titles. So they are playing into their strengths with what they are doing with the Indiana Jones gameplay style, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not going to be a shooter. I think they made that quite clear last night. They don't really want you to go around shooting things. And that's not really what indie does. You know, it's there's the infamous joke in the films where he does use his gun, and it's really unexpected because he's not the usual character who just goes and shoots people, right, with the sword. And I mean, if anything, it looks like a first person whipper. And at one point, I'm pretty sure I saw him crack his whip and deflect a bullet, which I loved.
I know. I was like, can you parry bullets with a whip?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm here for that.
I will be. Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, no, there was definitely a lot more like fist combat with the gameplay last night, and the head combat when he bopped the dude at the start.
I thought that looked really bad. That bit where he headbutted him. I was like, that does not look real. He would not have the range if he was stuck in the sand right there to go and headbutt the Nazi. That just doesn't.
I mean, I've never tried headbutting someone. I assume you'd probably have to use quite a lot of your core to get some momentum.
You have to move, like, if you imagine headbutting someone, you can't headbutt someone and your shoulders not move forwards. And how are you supposed to do that when you're... I love that we're all doing this now. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you're missing out.
He might just have a really strong neck.
Yeah, don't skip neck day.
That should have been the title, Indiana Jones and the Really Strong Neck.
Yeah. It would have been an improvement.
But no, I love the look of the traversal and things. And I love the puzzle elements as well. So like you said, it's not really like a shooter. It's very much in the vein of Uncharted, but I think it's not too Uncharted-like. It's not like they're trying to... You know how like everyone said that Uncharted was Dude Raider because it was taken from Tomb Raider, and like it does feel like it is its own game, I think, rather than just an evolution of Uncharted for Microsoft or for Xbox.
I'm really looking forward to seeing more. And as someone who obviously has Game Pass, it's one of those games, maybe it wouldn't convince me to buy an Xbox. Right, but it definitely makes me think that's something that I will keep subscribed to Game Pass for. That's something that that feels like has a lot of money put behind it, is going to be a quality game, has a great developer pedigree, and I just get it as part of Game Pass. And those games are too few and far between for Microsoft at the moment. And the fact that it's now confirmed as coming in 2024... I think that is going to be the linchpin of this year for them, I believe. Probably the biggest game of the year.
I think so. Although, I mean, they did obviously show Avowed, and that got a lot of excitement. I have thoughts on that, but, you know, Avowed, I know, has been a very popular, sought-after title for a while now. That was confirmed autumn, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so let's go on to talk about Avowed. The news was it was coming this autumn. We got a good look at gameplay. Well, a bit of gameplay. We saw some of the fantasy world, some of the different biomes. I liked that it was colourful.
More colourful than...
More colourful than Starfield, which is not difficult. This is Obsidian Entertainment's pitch at doing a Skyrim game, but with, I think, more involved combat. That was sort of the elevator pitch last night, right? That the combat was a bit more fluid and a bit more advanced. But look, here's a nice fantasy world that you want to explore that looks nice. We've made it look good, haven't we? Look, colors and... You're not playing Starfield and Skyrim. Well, who knows? Maybe that will get ported to somewhere else again. But yeah, I think it scratches an itch for people later this year who are looking for a nice RPG to sink their teeth into as the nights draw in.
I think it puts a gap ahead of whatever's next for Elder Scrolls.
As is Elder Scrolls 6, yeah.
And ahead of Fable. I just think that it's sort of another Western RPG in an area that has, in some eyes, been perfected. Like, if it's first person in the way it is, everyone's still going to compare it back to Skyrim, even though that was years ago. they showed off a lot of the dialogue system and the choice-based stuff, which now is going to probably be compared to Baldur's Gate. And Baldur's Gate does it so well, and that's so fresh in people's minds. I don't know how this can necessarily stand apart. They talked a lot about the combat and how you can mix and match between sort of melee and magic and build things together with each hand. I'm like, Bioshock did that with guns years ago. For me, there's nothing in this that's particularly original or exciting. So again, it looks decent. It looks solid. I'll happily play it on Game Pass, but it's not something that's exciting me or wowing me.
Mm. The world I did think looked very, very pretty. I should say, I don't think the combat looked that great. I thought it looked more clunky than I was expecting, but I think the world looked very pretty. And so for me, I will probably play it just to explore that world.
I need developers to stop having first-person sword combat. Nobody wants to waft a sword into empty space in front of them. I hate it.
I know that we knew about the guns, but seeing guns in that situation, I also did find weird. Like, I know that we knew that they were coming, but it's still, I don't know, that moment did look a bit
odd. I didn't know they were coming. And then was like, why are you shooting? You've got fireballs. Use magic.
Use magic.
Why are you using a gun?
I like the dual wand wielding. That was fun.
That's cool.
I don't know of any other game that lets you do that.
I'm trying to think now. I've got no idea, no. But again, that one, I think, was very... I tell you what, I really like the artwork for it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very pretty, which I realise is not going to sell the game. But I really like that artwork that they shared at the end. But I think it will, like you said, I think it's going to be a good stopgap for us, or those of us who are waiting for Elder Scrolls 6, Fable, etc.
I'm not wowed by it.
I can't come back to that. I was trying to think of something good, but it was too much dead air. Okay, then, what did you think to Ara?
It exists. I'll be honest, okay. I was writing up Hellblade at that point, so I sort of missed that one. I don't think it's my kind of thing anyway. Massively. Again, it's great that it exists for the people that like that. I don't think it's really for me.
I was talking to Alex, video editor Alex, about it, and he said that it really sort of suits him because it's Civilization, which he likes. So I think if it's someone that likes that kind of game, it does look like a very good-looking game. I mean, it's not my kind of thing either, but I'm just quite excited about Alex trying to play it because I'm going to message him and be like, Ara, you're winning, son? And then see what he does.
Oh, no.
The more they said about it, the more I thought this is really very familiar sounding. You know, building big monuments, playing as familiar leaders. I don't know, for me, if it did enough to sort of separate itself out from others in the genre. But this isn't specifically my kind of game, so... I don't know. It's probably not for me anyway. I thought it looked all right. I like the fact that it's alternate history, and I loved the fact that at one point there was some concept art for some mechas on screen.
Mm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was wondering if Ed was itching to talk about Hellblade.
No.
Oh, I thought you were like kind of like.
No. Yeah, I honestly, I sort of missed part of it. It's not massively my kind of game, so I sort of skimmed past it. But it sounds like it could be interesting.
I used to love that kind. I remember really liking that kind of game when I was younger, mainly because I was always very scared of death in games, and so I only got into like the action adventure genre probably when I was, I don't know, a tween, whatever that age range is now. So that kind of game was like my first PC experience, along with point and clicks. So I do have a little soft spot for them, even though I don't really play them that often anymore.
I don't have the time for them now.
That's true. What about you, Liv? Do you play that kind of game?
Not too much. I've tried it, but I found it's very difficult to like get into properly.
I remember... Yeah.
Maybe this one is the sort of the pitching it as the entry point into it a bit more. You don't maybe need some of the knowledge that you've had that other people have had if they've played a lot of these games previously. Sorry, Victoria, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just remember when I was younger and you could start building the Seven Wonders. I think it was a Civilization game I played, and I remember when I got the library, I was very excited.
Mm.
So that was a good time.
This is coming to PC only, right?
Yeah, there's no console plans, which makes sense, right?
I was going to say, this sort of thing never really works for me on console, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it was sort of halfway through that we got the little Square Enix interruption for Visions of Mana. It looked all right. We got a summer launch window, and it is coming to PlayStation as well, isn't it? It's not like this is an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, yeah. So they announced this game existing at the Game Awards, but I don't think they announced it for Xbox. So they're obviously saving it for this. I haven't played, I know of the Mana series. I haven't played them. I know good things. Secret of Mana especially is a classic back on the SNES, which I believe is now on PS Plus. So I'm looking forward to playing this, but it's in the sort of ranking of Square Enix, it's, you know, a bit below Final Fantasy. It's not their top level game. And it obviously, we sort of already knew about it from the Game Awards. So when they're kind of announcing this as their big Square Enix are coming in, it's like, well, okay, but we sort of knew about this already. So it wasn't super surprising. And I think for me anyway, when I saw that, you know, it's the surprise thing, it was the fifth one, the box opens and I saw the Square Enix logo and I was like, right, here we go. Final Fantasy VII Remake. Let's go. Like, let's get it out there. And then they kind of went with this instead. And considering at the 14 Fan Fest last year, they had Phil Spencer on stage to announce that Final Fantasy 14 was coming to Xbox. They said this is the beginning of a partnership. Everyone's expecting, right, they're going to start porting all the Final Fantasies over. This is going to be really big. And then they're like, oh no, here's our Visions of Mana, which looks good, but isn't really what everybody wants. It felt a bit deflating.
Yeah, it's... Sorry, I was just going to say, yeah, it that's the trouble with bringing in Square Enix at an event like this. You really feel like, oh, they're going to bring the big guns. And then when it's anything but the biggest of the big guns, then it naturally feels a little deflating, especially because if this year plays out similar to last, I would not be surprised if there's a PlayStation Direct State of Play waiting in the wings. And that does focus right on this year's big game from them, which is Rebirth. So it's a tough comparison.
Do you think Xbox would have its own dedicated Final Fantasy extravaganza then, seeing as this is quite a big deal? You said that Phil Spencer was at FanFest last year.
I think if there was an extravaganza to be had, they would probably want an extravaganza. But like PlayStation has the rights to Rebirth, at least initially. And I don't know that Square Enix would want to be doing anything that detracts from that right now. Like, that is this year's big game. And even announcing Remake coming to Xbox this year starts to take away, like, it just confuses the marketing message. Like, just focus on getting Rebirth out and making sure that that's a success, because it needs to be a success, because they still have a third big project to come that they need the second one to be a success to then get onto. So
definitely,
who knows when that's going to be announced.
It will come to PC after PlayStation. I don't know if they would tie an Xbox and PC together or something at that point, but I think more likely would they'd say something like the Pixel Remasters are now on Game Pass, and that gives you Final Fantasy 1 to 6.
Mm.
I think 12 used to be on Game Pass. I think 13 was released on Xbox as well. So I think a starting point of, like, get the Pixel Remasters on there, which, hey, I don't know. I presume that's not too much difficulty in terms of programming. Get them up on Game Pass, and that is a first dump of Final Fantasy to then build up towards the others. So I can imagine something like that happening. But yeah, like, as you said, Tom, it's kind of, you expect the big guns, and then Visions of Mana still looks good. Like, I will absolutely play that, but I sort of already knew about it from before.
From
I'll probably end up playing it on PlayStation, because I just tend to play on that a bit more. So it wasn't a huge draw.
Okay, question for you then. From looking at that trailer, I thought that that looked like a slightly maybe more accessible entry point into this style of game than the Final Fantasies. Do you think the Mana series, from what you know of it, would be a better entry point for like my son who's 10?
Probably yes. Like I haven't played them. I don't know too much about it. I think they're action RPGs. They're not turn based, so they're more sort of action adventure-y. Probably a bit button mashing, maybe they're sort of cutesier style. So yeah, I'd say it's probably that kind of entry point, yeah. But it's not what the hardcore fans want, unless you are a hardcore fan who grew up with Secret of Mana back in the 90s and you're desperate for more of the series.
I didn't realize how long or how many games there were in the series. When it started going through all of the ones that have like obviously come before, I was like, wow, there's loads of them.
Technically, it started before that. So to get really nerdy, and I haven't played them all, but to get nerdy, I think Final Fantasy Adventure came out as a spin-off of Final Fantasy, which I think might have been on the Game Boy, maybe. And then that basically became the Mana series, so that they had their Final Fantasy turn-based series and then the Mana series as action RPG. And obviously things have been blurred since then.
There you go, new knowledge.
You're welcome.
Last thing last night was Hellblade, which I thought looked fantastic. We learned that it was coming out 21st of May, PC and Xbox. It's a digital-only game, just like the first. And we saw a little bit more about the gameplay. We learned that they'd been on a trip to Iceland during development. And it's going to be slightly less than full price, $50, however that equates to pounds. What did you guys think of Hellblade last night?
I mean, I think it looks visually spectacular. I think it looks really, really good. I know the first game was quite a hard play in a lot of ways, and I obviously struggle with my mental health issues, and there are a few things I did have to... You know, like I found it quite personal in a lot of ways, but I'm also really looking forward to this one. I think it looks like a really good next step in that story. And I like the music.
Same. Of all the games from last night, this is the one I'm most excited about. I loved the first game. I thought it was brilliant. It's absolutely a game to play with headphones. I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm sort of excited to play this one. And I feel like I'm sounding really negative today. I do genuinely want to play it. I think my concern is that the first game was so singular and complete that I don't understand how they can make a sequel out of it necessarily. Like, for me, the story was great. I don't necessarily need more. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. I definitely want to play it. But it sort of feels like it's a bit more of the same, which is fine, but I don't know. I'm not utterly convinced by it just yet.
What about you, Liv?
Honestly, at this point, I was still typing up, so I wasn't watching it, but I was listening, and I did play the first one, but I never finished it, so I wasn't sure, like, how to feel about Hellblade. But if it's like a completely kind of new chapter in the story for Senua, then I could see myself playing it, because I did like the first one. I just never got around to finishing it.
No, after you, please, Tom.
I was going to say, it sounds like it won't be exactly the same as the first time around, because some of the issues in the first game were resolved by the end. So while they remain part of who Senua is, it may not... It won't play out exactly the same way, and maybe it won't feel exactly the same, which you want from a character. Like, you want them to grow and change and... for this to be different this time around. Yeah, I love the first game. I'm happy for it to be dark again, but in slightly different ways. And I'm very happy to see more of that world. I thought it was really, really cool. There's really nothing else quite like it at that sort of budget and scale. It feels like an indie game. I know that it's not. But I think hopefully you sort of know what I mean by when I say that. Like, it is offbeat, and it's not something that you typically see like a big publisher, big platform holder going all in on, and I really like that that they are they're pushing it. It's probably this year's third biggest Xbox game, maybe second, really. It's up there with Avowed, I would say.
Are you surprised that it's digital only?
No. I think that digital is going to be more and more common. I think that a lot of people are going to play this game as a Game Pass game, and they were never going to buy a physical copy anyway. The original game is digital too, so that also makes sense. Yeah, not surprised.
I think to your point, Tom, I also want it to be different and have its own story and its own feel and everything, just to sort of warrant its existence, I think was more my point. Like, I'm absolutely happy to play more of it. I just hope that it stands out from the original.
Fingers crossed. It's a talented team. Good IP. So let's hope they can pull it off. But I think they will. Right, that was the five games. Not a lot of games then, but it felt like we got a decent look at each of them. And Yeah,
like Ed said at the start, I much prefer that sort of format of a show, because I hate it when we're literally just jumping from trailer to trailer to trailer and don't have time to actually digest what we've seen. I think that was actually a really good show.
And all of them are coming out this year, and I don't think there's any suggestion that any of them are really going to slip. I think indie has to hit this year because that's the big blockbuster for the end of the year. If Owl has been in development a while, I'd be surprised if that changes years. Hellblade's nearly done. So that's three or four solid game. Well, Ara is not coming to Xbox, so it's three games at least. Definitely sort of on the calendar for this year, and it means that whatever Microsoft announces in June around that sort of E3 window, maybe that stuff is for 25, but at least they've got some stuff on the calendar for this year. Let's hope that PlayStation does similar and we can start filling in our release schedule and things to look forward to over the course of the next 12 months. And Nintendo does the same, obviously, although we do know a lot of stuff that they are bringing to Switch 1 this first half of the year. But of course, we're hoping for a little bit more from Nintendo and maybe some news on Switch 2 this year as well. So what would we rate the sort of conference as a, maybe not as a conference, but as sort of a pitch for Xbox in 2024? If you had to rate it out of 5 stars, Ed, where would you place 2024 so far? How does it look to you?
I'm going to go with a 3. I think there are decent games and I will happily play them, but I'm just not feeling super wowed by most of them.
Okay. Victoria, how about you?
I'm going to go with an 11. Indiana Jones, baby.
11 out of 5 it is. Wow.
Like, okay. Fun girl.
I realize there might be a little bit of IP blindness here, but I am just... I actually think I'm really excited about Xbox this year, and I've not said that for many years. So I really like the look of Senua. I really like the look of Indy, obviously. Avowed, again, I think the world looks beautiful. I think this is a good-looking year for Xbox.
Liv, how about you?
I'm in the same boat as Ad. I would give it a 3. I think that there are some solid games there, but nothing really, really jumped out at me to get me really excited about the year.
That's fair. Would I give it a 3 or a 4? I'm sort of torn. Indy looks like a polished, licensed action-adventure, and actually I'm very much here for that, and I love Indiana Jones. Avowed looks like a perfectly cromulent RPG from people who know what they're doing. And Hellblade looks great. Yeah, I'm going to go with a 4.
Da-da-da-da-da.
let's leave it there before we break out into song. But thanks for watching. If you made it this far, thanks for joining, Liv, Victoria, Ed. We'll be back next week. Maybe we'll be hearing from PlayStation or Nintendo very soon. If not, I'm sure there'll be something else to chat about. We'll see you then. Ed, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at @Ed_Knights.
Victoria?
I'm at Little Chop Shop Gal Loves Indiana Jones.
And Liv?
I am at Just Cast Holy.
And I'm at Tom Phillips EG. Thanks everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.